Hi, welcome everyone to our podcast channel, Home Visiting Conversations, which has been developed by the University of New Mexico Center for Development and Disability Home Visiting Consultation Team, with the support of the New Mexico Early Childhood Education and Care Department. I'm your host, Laura Sharek, a home visiting consultant from the University of New Mexico, and I have the pleasure today of speaking with Aleida James Correa during our podcast titled Spanish Fun Conversations. Hi, Aleida. How are you today?
Hello, Laura. I'm so excited and honored to be here with you and your audience.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for being here. I look forward to our conversation. I also want to thank you for sharing your time and expertise to support New Mexico home visitors by making a stronger their practice through the Spanish Fund. We are thrilled to offer this valuable training opportunity in Spanish and to continue expanding culturally and linguistically responsive support for home visitors across the state. Shall we dive in?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, first question, Aleida. How would you describe the facilitating attuned interactions, which is the fun, to someone new to home visiting?
I would like to start saying home visiting has a special place in my heart. And I believe, that one of the most important elements of home visiting is the relationship between the home visitor and the family. FAN, facilitating attuned interactions, is a tool to support the home visitor to be attuned to themselves and the caregivers. And I will keep saying caregivers, and I'm talking about the parents, the grandparents, foster parents, the person that has a level of attachment with the child. And the FAN is a meta framework. This means that it can be used with different curriculums in different contexts. FAN has five wages or core processes: calming, feeling, thinking, doing, and reflecting. At the center of the wages is the caregiver's concern. I will describe each wage very briefly. The calming wage helps home visitors read their own cues by identifying when they are dysregulated, using strategies to return to their baseline, and being aware of their emotional state and reminding present during the interaction with the caregiver. The other four wages are for the caregivers. For example, the home visitor identifies that a caregiver is in feelings when the emotion is very intense. Mom or dad is very happy or sad or frustrated. The thinking wage occurs when emotions are contained. The caregiver is more regulated and would like to start problem-solving a situation with the home visitor's collaboration. In the doing wage, the caregivers are the doers, and the home visitor supports the parent's initiative. And the last wage, the reflection, refers to the revelation of something, such as making sense of the child's behavior or parenting approach. When this happens, we call it an aha moment. Each caregiver goes through the wages in a different way. For example, someone can spend most of the visit in feelings because a very difficult situation is happening. The experience is so intense that it's not possible to think about problem solving yet. Going through the wages is not linear. People go back and forth depending on their needs. The role of the home visitor is to offer a process that matches the parents' cues. Sometimes the strategy is a match. And oh, this feels great when you're attuned with the caregiver. And sometimes it's a mismatch. And the fan gives you strategies like how to retune and to be available and present for the caregiver again. Attunement is often not easy, but practicing the fan helps the home visitor to understand where the parents are and attune to them in that way.
Wow. Thank you for this thoughtful description. I like how you highlighted the relationship as at the heart of home visiting and explaining how the fan supports attunement by helping home visitors match their responses to the caregiver's cues. Your example of moving across the wedges really captures how dynamics real visits can be. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
Can you share how the fund supports home visitors in building a strong, trusty relationships with families?
Of course. I had the opportunity to work as a home visitor in Chicago, Illinois, and Fort Worth, Texas. And I noticed the difference in my interactions before and after implementing the fan. Before I use the fan, I tried to fix everyone's problems and I was exhausted. Like, it was not enough what I was doing, and I wonder if home visiting it was a good place for me. It was a very rough time. But when I started implementing the fan, I noticed that I was an important part of the interaction. I develop awareness and reflective capacity as I try to understand my own practice. How I organize my visits, why working with some families was more challenging, and why I enjoy other visits more. The fund helped me to understand myself better as a person and a professional. I was lucky to receive monthly reflective supervision, where I was able to process what happened to me while I was supporting my families in my caseload. I think the families noticed my honesty because I was more genuine. I stopped prioritizing filling my huge bag of toys. Instead, my curiosity to listen to their stories, noticing their priorities and resources, increased. The caregivers observed that I was emotionally more regulated and more present. They felt more comfortable sharing happy and painful stories with me. I did my best to co-create with them a sense of a safe and brave space. Especially working with immigrant families, they are so brave. So smart and at times vulnerable. I'm an immigrant myself too. I don't know if you noticed, English is my second language. I need to reflect on my own bias, my own trauma, and expectations. I remember visiting a mom and her 1-week-old baby. I remember when we scheduled a home visit, she called me, she gave me her address. I went there, she opened the door, and she invited me to her room to see the baby. And I remember me walking in the apartment. It was in a basement, and I sit on her bed, and she held her baby, and she asked me to hold her baby too. And I'm like, wow. She trusted her most precious treasure to me. It was a very special and symbolic moment for me because I understood that physically I was holding the baby, but emotionally, I was holding mom, and the fan was holding me to be available for mom and the baby.
Wow, this is beautiful, Alida. By the way, English is my second language, as you can tell. So we have something in common, right?
Yes, we do.
Thank you for sharing this reflection. I appreciate how you show that the fan helps build trust by supporting home visitors to be more aware, more present, and sincerely curious with families. Your example totally illustrates how attunement can strengthen relationships and help families feel safe and supported. From your perspective, how does the fan help home visitors stay regulated and strengthen family engagement, especially during challenging visits or for the first few visits they have?
As we know, home visiting is a relational-based approach. In the fan, we believe that home visitors bring their whole selves to the home visit. Their knowledge, their experiences, culture, and language. We work with caregivers who do one of the most rewarding and difficult jobs, raising a child. The fan recognizes that mismatches occur and affect the home visitor and caregivers. For example, during the first visits, home visitors typically explain the program's goals, complete developmental screenings, and try to establish a healthy relationship with the family. Also, the families reorganize their schedules. Because it is a new routine, sometimes don't confirm the visit, or the baby is sleeping and the screening can be completed. The home visitors may feel concern, frustration, and anxiety. Sometimes we feel some of what the other is feeling. Sometimes things from our own lives get activated. For this reason, fan has the calming wedge. This wedge is for the home visitors. Fan uses this regulation as an opportunity for self-awareness and growth. In the calming wedge, we read our own cues and identify how our bodies feel when we are imbalanced and when we are dysregulated. When challenging situations are happening during the visit, we may feel dysregulated. We feel that the heart is racing and the mouth feels dry, maybe the body freezes. When this happens, we can use mindful self-regulation strategies, such as breathing, grounding, self-talk, and visualization. One of my go-to is deep breathing. Breathing is like always available, and then I don't need prompts and I don't need anything else to use breathing. This way, I take care of my own needs and remind the most regulated person in the interaction. When I say most regulated, it doesn't mean that I'm not still nervous, worried, or overwhelmed, but I'm trying to be the most regulated person in the visit. Home visitors have shared that when they are more regulated and present during a challenging home visit, parents share their stories because they feel seen. And sometimes they talk about topics that they have not shared with anyone else. And I'm not talking about providing psychotherapy services. I'm talking about listening with empathy. After the feelings are contained, caregivers may naturally feel ready to problem solve a situation. Or maybe receive information and make sense of their child's behavior or their parenting approach. When parents develop those skills, they are more likely to be consistent with home visits, reach out for services, advocate for their families, and establish a healthier attachment.
I love that. I totally understand about the breathing. That's something that I do a lot. I take advantage of that a lot. I like the self-talk as well. Those techniques have really worked in situations that I feel uncomfortable, dysregulated. Thank you for this reflection. I like how you describe the fan. How the fan helps home visitors notice their own reactions and use self-regulation strategies so they can stay present during challenging visits. When home visitors remain regulated, families often feel safer and more open to sharing and more engaged in the visits. Now that there are culturally grounded adaptations of the fan for Spanish speakers and indigenous communities, what benefits do you see this bringing to home visitors and the families they support?
Wow, many benefits, Laura. Culture is our beliefs, values, rituals, behaviors, food, clothing, and language. These elements create our identity. One of the motivations behind the adaptations for the fan in Spanish and indigenous communities is to see the home visitor as a whole person, not just as a professional. I have been more involved with the Spanish fan. That's why I will talk a little bit more about this adaptation. When home visitors participate in the Spanish trainings in the United States, because we provide the Spanish training in Latin America too, but I will concentrate in this conversation what happens in the United States. They share that they are bilingual in English and Spanish. And our training, the fan training, is the first time they have received professional development in Spanish. Even though they provide services in Spanish to sometimes 80% or 99% of their families in their caseload. I want to mention that Spanish is so rich and has many variations. In each training, we may learn new words. We have had participants from Mexico, Puerto Rico, Cuba, El Salvador, Peru, Panama, Colombia, and Venezuela. In Spanish, we use different words to say child. For example, in Mexico, we say huerco, chamaco, guache. In Argentina, pibe. In Venezuela, chamo. In Colombia, pelado. In Puerto Rico, nene. And I can keep going with many more examples. Because also, we have many indigenous languages across Latin America, like Maya, Mixteco, that even enriches more or language. In the training, the participants learn that there are different correct ways to communicate in Spanish. Many of us learn Spanish in our country of origin or at home with our family in the United States. With so much respect and gratitude, I want to acknowledge our training superstars, the agencies that have the initiative to offer the training in Spanish, and of course, the facilitators. The facilitators are bilingual and bicultural. They specialize in infant mental health and truly live the fan. They pour their minds and their hearts in each training. They are a dream coming true. During the training, the facilitators and participants create something magical. It is difficult to describe in words what happens there. What I have observed is home visitors look relaxed with a sense of familiarity. They feel more like they are with family members, con una prima, like with a cousin, but also with another colleague that they respect so much. And also, they are eager to listen to others' experiences and share their own. They have rich conversations in large and small groups, many different activities, role plays, and participants use phrases that sometimes lack of exact English translation. But when they say it, everybody in the group understands the meaning. It is like during the training, they feel brave and vulnerable as they bring their Spanish side into their professional life. And they are integrated. They can be their true selves in the training. It is very profound. All the PowerPoint and handouts are translated from English to Spanish and adapted. They don't have to work extra to deliver the training content in their home visits. This increases the likelihood that home visitors will feel more motivated to use the fun during the visits and also the playgroups. With these questions, I have been reflecting so much, and I noticed that Latinos, we are a collective culture. We seek and enjoy being with others. When families who speak Spanish work with a home visitor who also speaks Spanish, they can be their true selves and feel seen. And something very special happens. Families may feel more comfortable opening the doors of their home as if the home visitor were another family member. And at the same time, have great respect for this professional. The Spanish fan makes communication easier. By translating technical words into everyday vocabulary, helps the home visitor to read caregiver's cues, identify needs, offer empathic listening, and collaborate in exploring problem-solving possibilities. When we use a Spanish fan, caregivers make informed decisions and grow their self-advocacy and reflective capacities. It is more meaningful to go through this process in the primary language because it is a language of emotions, and the whole brain is involved. Here is a little bit of science, a drop of science behind this statement. The amygdala is a small part of our brains that processes emotions. After the emotions are contained, the frontal cortex is activated. The frontal cortex is responsible for language, decision-making, impulse control, and problem-solving. When caregivers develop these abilities with the support of the home visitor, they will carry them forward after graduating from the program. It is very powerful.
And it sounds amazing. Thank you, Aleida, for this wonderful reflection. I appreciate how you highlighted the culturally grounded fan adaptations, how they allow home visitors to bring their full cultural linguistic identities into their work, which can reinforce confidence, connection, and authenticity with families. This is amazing. I'm so excited about this. Our last question, Aleida. What changes have you seen in family engagement when home visitors use the fan consistently in the daily practice?
Absolutely. I have observed many changes when home visitors use the fan, such as families being more consistent in their home visits, children's development being more stimulated, participation in play groups increases, and same with other program events. And families recommend the program to the community. This is the best outreach. I want to share a story regarding family engagement. Adula started working with a young couple during their first pregnancy. Both immigrants, the mom from Colombia and dad from Mexico. Dad worked full time and mom part time. The doula was able to acknowledge and regulate her emotions before and during the visits, wondering if she will be able to support this young family. She used one of the fun mindful self-regulation strategies, self-talk, reminding herself that the parents had wisdom, and if difficulties happen, they could think together in a solution. She was, and that she was not the main responsible for solving everything. During the home visit, she asked open questions to the couple and encouraging them to speak up and formulate their own questions. And they took this ability to the OB-GYN appointments, where they have their questions ready in a little paper. Sometimes they had answers to their questions, sometimes not. And sometimes the answers were difficult. But the doula held space for all the feelings that the parents had, because the couple really trusted the home visitor, this doula. They were transparent with her, and they were able to create a realistic birth plan in the hospital that worked for them. Well, the big day happened. On the day of the delivery, mom texts the doula, informing her that she was in the hospital. When the doula arrived, she noticed that the couple was happy and looked relieved to see her. Dad was able to ask the doctor questions, like he felt a little bit more empowered because he had an extra support system. Also, he regulated his emotions and was able to be present more for mom. Their plan was, and especially mom, she wanted to have a vaginal non-medicated delivery. But after many labors of labor, I'm talking to you like around 18 hours, mom was exhausted. She was depleted. And the baby was in breech position. And the heart rate was decreasing. Like everybody was concerned. Then the medical team decided to do a C-section. Well, here is the doula thinking like, oh my, this was not her plan, but she remembered the fan, and the fan invites her to stay longer in hard places. And it was a hard place. It was a difficult situation. For the doula, this meant being able to regulate herself, feeling disappointment because mom didn't want a C-section initially, but the health of mom and baby were at high risk. Then she took a deep breath and said to the couple, I know you didn't want a C-section, but under these circumstances, it is recommended. What do you think? Well, The couple look to each other, look at the medical team, and they have questions. And the doctor explained the procedure. And a big concern that mom had is that she didn't want it to be by herself. And dad was allowed to be in the surgery room. They had a healthy baby girl and they were discharged. When the family returned home, they told the doula that even though their plan didn't happen as they planned, their confidence as parents grew because they had wonderful plans for her little baby and recognized that difficulties will arise and had the capacity to overcome them as they did in the hospital. The doula listened and held the space to listen these reflections. And what happened is that the doula held the parents in a very difficult moment in their lives. Now, the parents are mentally prepared to hold their baby during difficulties too. During this experience, parents focus on the baby's health and development and creating more protective factors and connecting with resources. Those are some family engagement goals from our home visiting programs. And by implementing the FAN, they can be achieved in a very relational way.
Wow. Thank you for sharing this powerful example. I like how you illustrate the consistent use of the FAN strengthens family engagement by building parents' confidence, supporting emotional regulation, and creating a space for families to make informed decisions together. When families feel supported in this way, they are often more connected to services and more engaged in their child's development. Aleida, this has been such a wonderful experience for me. I have truly felt your passion for the FAN and for making this training available in Spanish. I appreciate your insights of how this work supports the home visiting community in New Mexico. We are very grateful for your time, dedication, and the many ways you continue to support this work. Thank you.
My pleasure.
If you have questions about accessing additional Spanish fine training opportunities, please contact with your supervisor or your home visiting support team. We also hope you will enjoy us for an upcoming episode of Home Visiting Conversation Podcast, hosted by UNM Center for Development Disability. Take care and stay well.